Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to meditating on the gift, and I want to go back to that. I preached the week before, and then Adam talked about the light of the gift and bringing light into the world, and I want to go back today and just think about for a moment with me about a few things. Number one, I want to look at this gift came with great thought. It came with great thought, and then I want to talk to you about it came with great sacrifice. You know, can you imagine the sacrifice if you're God and God's Son? And it came with great love, and it also came with great promise. And so that's what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus for our first scripture, Exodus, the third chapter. When we talk about this gift came with great thought, we can go all the way back to Genesis, the third chapter, and we see where God has created man, and it doesn't say how long it took them to sin, but somewhere along the way, and for all you that are parents and you think parenting is hard, just remember this, that Adam and Eve weren't born children, they were born full grown, they were born adults, they were created as adults, God breathed into them the breath of life, and so, because he wanted, the Bible said, to make someone in his own image, in his likeness. And I believe the conversation in heaven went on that when they, as we're talking about, Jan mentioned again this morning, there's that free will, you know, that free will that we all have, that we really love the free will, don't we? Isn't it nice to have a free will and to be able to go and come and be what God created you to be? And when you love your loved ones, they know it's your free will. It's not because they have to and all. So we love free will, but the conversation, I believe, came up early in creation that says, what if they choose to sin? And the Bible said that they didn't know about sin. He said that's why he forbade them to, or told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Until they had eaten of that tree, evidently they didn't know about evil. Because here they are on the planet, and they eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden, there's the only two on the planet, and they say they're naked and they're ashamed. I thought, if you're only two on the planet, what are you ashamed of? Well, now they know the shameness, or the shameful part that can come with nakedness. And that until this, until they had sinned, and let me just say this, you know, when we're talking about the sacrifice of the gift that, and this thought that went into it, you know, God has given us a gift in His Son that we may be free, right? That we can be, He says, who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so we can know this freedom, but then the devil comes along and he's still whispering in our ear. Are you with me? I mean, we're the most blessed country on the planet, and still, you know, this Christmas he'll whisper in some of your ears, you know, well, you're not getting what you want. You know, if God was just really blessed, He would have this Christmas. Huh? I'm telling you, we ought to just be celebrating Christmas and whatever we get, you know, to think this is not it. This is just a little byproduct of where we're headed. We're headed to the over into eternity where there's no more sickness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more crying, no more dying, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But yet He'll tell us what we don't have. He'll tell you what your spouse is not. He will. You know, when you married, you couldn't hear anything negative about your spouse when you were dating, could you? I mean, they were just perfect, right? Where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't care, wherever you want to eat. Just, you know, knowing that they'll always be thinking about you wherever you want to eat, right? Yeah, wherever. And then somewhere along the line that changes, doesn't it? Somebody whispers in your ear, don't they? He's going to eat where he wants. You better speak up. She's going to eat where she desires. You better speak up. I know when my wife, when I say, "Where would you want to eat, honey?" She says, "I don't care." I know that really doesn't, that really is not a true statement. That means it's time to go fishing, Jack. Because I'll say something like, you know, I want to eat something simple. And she'll say, if that sounds good to you, I guess it's okay. Yeah, you know what I mean. But he's always whispering in our ear about, you know, and all those thoughts we have that are tearing down and they're not edifying and they're not building up. He's still whispering in our ear. God is, you know, somebody's trying to get to you. Somebody's trying to take advantage of you. And he's still whispering that in our ear. And if we're not careful, we'll develop a hard heart, or we'll also sin the way Adam and Eve sinned. But this conversation had to go on before Adam and Eve were created. In fact, in Revelation, or just be seated in the meeting room where Jesus and God is having a meeting about, they're getting ready to create human mankind, and all of a sudden the subject comes up. What are we going to do if they sin? Because they're going to have a free moral will. They're going to be free moral agents. And what if they sin? And so it had to come up. And somewhere in the conversation, wouldn't it have been nice to be in the meeting room, just sitting there, not saying it, just sitting there, and see how the conversation came about, where they're talking about Jesus will be slain from the foundation of the world. Wouldn't that have been something? Now, if you're like me, you think, in our finite thinking, you think it would have to be Jesus to say, "Well, I'm the Son, and I will go, and I will give my life," if that comes, you know, slain from the foundation of the world, right? "I will go and I'll give my life," if it comes to that point. And they probably knew it would come to that point. You know, we're limited in everything we do. We're not like them. We're like them in our intellect and our thinking and our free will and all that, but we're not all-powerful, all-knowing. And so they knew it would be very limited, and so that must have came up, and that's why it said, "Slain from the foundation of the world." But when we'd be sitting in that meeting, wouldn't you think the Son would have to say, "I'll go. I'll be the supreme sacrifice"? Now, that's what I think we would think. But I'm not so sure. In God's thinking, God might not have looked at the Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it might have, can you imagine that, though, as a father? Some of you guys, as a father, when you're creating this little ball of dirt and they're going to be made in your image, and you have the power and authority to breathe in them life. Can you imagine when you're creating this little creation and the subject comes up about, well, what are we going to do if they sin and they turn and you know, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden the conversation comes up. Can you imagine as a father saying to your son, "Well, I'll just let you go, son"? See, we can't fathom that, can we? Can you imagine looking at one of your children saying, "Well, if they need a Savior, I'll send you to die on the cross"? We just can't picture that in our mind at all. But here's what else we can't picture. We can't picture the love that Jesus had for us. We just don't have that kind. Our love is so conditional, isn't it? You know, "I'll love you if." You know, there's all kinds of people in our world, isn't there? Yesterday we were driving down Pennsylvania and I saw a guy and he has a sign, and I figured he was, I thought, well, he must be trying to, you know, work for food sign or whatever. And then he takes his sign and he puts it down at the window of this car that's sitting there at the stoplight, and he's pointing at somebody. And I thought, well, that's a new technique. You know. And then when we got closer, it wasn't a work for food sign. It had something about hell on top, and I thought, what a witness. I told Jan, I said, really? This guy, you know, he's got hell written across the top, and I'm sure a scripture there. But I thought, taunting people with hell and pointing in the window, is that the kind of witness we ought to be as Christians? I really wanted to stop and say, "Can I visit with you just a minute, Mister? I'm going to hell, and you're going to hell, and I'm not, sir." We don't fathom, do we, the love that Christ had for us to die with? The Bible said, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were in the state of sin, and He had no clue whether you and I would receive Him or not, He died for us. That's the kind of love that He has. And I'm sure the guy with the sign, he loves him. He just, you know, I think he's just I'm thinking he's training and teaching. This is my personal opinion. You know, to tell somebody and remind them that you're going to hell and without any kind of relationship, it doesn't work in this with the society we live in today. It don't work. You know, I would encourage him to go out and, you know, invest your time somewhere making a difference. If you really want to people to see your sign, go out and give some love away and let them see that sign. How many knows they'll see that sign? They'll respond to that sign. And that's what went on in that meeting room that day. And I would love to have been there and seen how that transpired and what was said to the Father and the Son and how he was slain from the foundation and how that transpired and what was said. But this we know, look in Genesis 3, the Lord comes, they've sinned, they ate because Satan has said, oh, he knows that the day you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. And I've watched Satan come in and whisper in people's ears when God wouldn't save a loved one that was sick or a child that was dying or some of those sort of things. And I've watched God come in and be available to people. And then I've watched Satan come in and begin to whisper in their ears, if he really loved you, he would have spared your loved one. If he really loved you, he would have done this. If he really loved you, and all those taunts and that deception. In fact, the Bible talks about in the last days, Satan's going to come in with lying signs and wonders and going to deceive the elect if it was possible. So his strategy has not changed. It's just deception. And so they've been deceived, and God comes in and begins to question them. And of course, the man points to the woman. She gave me to eat. Just threw her right under the bus, didn't he? It's that woman you gave me. You might want to take her back to the workshop and do a little work on her. I'll let you know that right now. That woman you gave me. And then the man says, it's the serpent. The serpent deceived me. Or the woman said, the serpent, it was him. He deceived me. And so he gets down. And finally he says to the serpent in verse 13, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are crushed, cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. And he says, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so here's the first glimpse we see of the thought that was put into sending Jesus Christ to come and be our advocate and be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Then 4,000 years pass. 4,000 years are passing by before the gift is really going to be presented to us. 4,000 years, that's a long time, isn't it, to talk about something and then think about it. And, you know, Haley, you just came through 4 years of college. That's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time. You know, and then it's just going to be a doctor. Just think about what's ahead of you. You'll be gray-headed as Mark time you're done, man. A long time. And see, we're talking a few years of intense training, right? And this is 4,000 years. Put it in perspective, 4,000 years. In fact, I got to thinking about this the other day, and you remember the story, and how would you like to, well, let me just back up. Remind me, say, John the Baptist, okay? That's going to be your key, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. After I get through this point, what are you going to tell me? John the Baptist. All right. Now, here's the thought that was put into this. 4,000 years go by, you know, 4,000 years. And not only that, but when God sends a gift, how many knows he sends a gift right? Remember, turn with me to Luke, and I want to show you something. In the book of Luke, he's talking in Luke chapter 2. Have you ever had a child and you think, you know, you're putting a lot of thought into your announcement cards, you know, and we hand out cigars and, you know, whatever your traditions are, we do. But how would, you know, you talk about, if you ever wonder, you think I'm overdoing these announcements? The answer is no. And we get that from our Father, because here we're talking about the thought that was put in this process of sending Jesus, and guess what? His announcements cards are. It's an angel, isn't it? Oh, in this field, you know. And the Bible says this light is shining all around him at the announcement of his son's birth. Watch this. And I thought it was so funny. It says in chapter 2 and verse 7, and she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Very humble beginnings, wasn't it? And now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now this is his birth announcement. Can you get the picture in heaven? I'm going to send one of my angels for a birth announcement. All the angels, pick me. They're gonna, and you, it's probably Gabriel. You know, seems like this is his deal, doesn't it? Every time, you know, Mary, Zacharias, and then in a dream, it's probably Gabriel to Job. But here he is, and the angel comes, and he's, and this light is lit up all around in this dark field, and you know, that's not what shepherds are used to. They're used to a little campfire, if you get the picture, and they're out there with, and they're in the still, and all of a sudden the angel comes, and there's this bright light. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings with great joy, which will be to all people." In our Bible study the other night, I said, you know, every time you see an angel, he's talking about peace and goodwill and joy and all this kind of thing. Every time they come from a throne, I think that's the whole atmosphere that's at the throne. Because every time they come, this is the message they have. I think that's where we're going to stand. And, you know, can you imagine that every day with joy and peace and glad tidings every day for eternity, every day because of the sacrifice of the gift of Jesus Christ? Every day. No more stress, no more ulcers, no more headaches, no more medicine, no more pain. Every day. Every day. And it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, I believe these guys wanted to come with the angel. I really do. I think they said, can we go with the choir? Can we go? Can we go? In fact, I almost had you and Caleb sing how they would have sang this song. I'm not sure how it would have sounded, but verse 14, how that would have come off. But can you imagine? They're all wanting to come. They're all wanting to be one of the announcement cards of Jesus Christ's birth. And God says, no. All you guys show up in your hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many, there's a heavenly host. I don't know how many that is, but he says, can you imagine if they're just, all of a sudden it's dark and then, boom. And they're all there, and they're just, you know, and he says, we're going to send Gabe, and then as soon as Gabe's made the announcements, I'll let you go. And they're in heaven. Gabe's down there on the earth making his announcements, and they're in heaven like this, you know. Can we go now? No, hang on, you know. And finally, he says, okay. And he, you know, drops it, he goes, and all of a sudden they appear, you know. Can you imagine that? This is real stuff. This is his announcement of his birth. So if you think whatever kind of elaborate birth announcements you can make, wonder if God's happy with it, he just tickles. Okay, just go ahead. Go ahead. As long as you and your spouse agree with it, okay? And so they appear, and then I don't know how they sing this, but they're singing it somehow, and maybe you all could help us with that or something, but glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And they're singing this out, you know, and so when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, you know, and so they come in a flash, and their announcements, man, of here's his birth, and then poof, they're gone just as quickly. Can you imagine if you're one of those shepherds, you're sitting there? What'd you put in our drinks tonight, you know? I mean, really, wouldn't that just freak you out? They're afraid, and they're not only afraid because one's standing there, but then a heavenly host comes, and they're singing about the announcement of Jesus Christ. My goodness. Talk about thought put into something. So there's the first. There's the first thought and announcement that's given on earth. Okay? And the second was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Remember, we talked a little bit about John and how he prepared Mary and them. But look, think with me for just a minute. It's 4,000 years, right, from the time that's been announced to the birth of Jesus. And not only is it 4,000 years, but it's 4,000 plus years if you're Zacharias and Elizabeth. Because I believe this. I believe God chose Zacharias and Elizabeth and said, you know what, that would be a good couple. They're just precious and walking in holiness. Remember we talked about they're walking in holiness and righteousness. That would be a good couple for me to send my next greeting card. I don't know what your ministry cards look like, if you send any out or what, but you know what? Can you imagine? He didn't make a card. He made a human to announce his son going into ministry. I mean, that's literally what he did, isn't it? John the Baptist was the first singing telegram or sing-a-gram or whatever you want to call it. And here's what I believe, and I may be wrong. I don't have any Bible to prove it. You don't have any Bible to prove me wrong, okay? Here's what I believe. I believe John the Baptist's parents were selected, and the time came about when they're, you know, in their childbearing years where it'd be healthy. And I think God's just delaying a little. Oh, we have another year. Let's just wait till next year. And then the next year comes. Oh, let's just wait till next year. Until finally they're saying, you know what? If you're going to use this couple, you better go ahead and send the son. You know, you send his announcement card today. Because they're getting old. They're well advanced in years, he says, for your announcement card for starting ministry. That's thought, isn't it? I'm going to create a human being through a specific couple to announce the ministry of my son. And so in their old age, Zacharias and Elizabeth conceives and John the Baptist is born to announce their son going into ministry. That's some thought, isn't it? To prepare the couple, the messenger, the message, where he'll preach, what he'll eat, what he'll wear, because he was different, wasn't he? Everything was planned. A lot of thought put in to bringing the gift to our planet. And then there was a lot of sacrifice, wasn't there? A lot of sacrifice. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son. Could you give your only child to save the world? If somebody came and said, you know, I think the Lord would accept your two children or your child or two or three or whatever you have and would save the world if you'd just let them go with me and become a sacrifice. Can you imagine that? Would you have to pray about that? How about you, Brett? Would you have to pray before you gave up your little kid? I'd probably say, listen, Bubba, that's not even an option on the table. The world's going to die if that's the case, sure enough. Now, I might pray about giving me, you know. I might pray about giving, if that would work. You know, I am their daddy. Some of the same blood runs through our bodies. But you know, that wouldn't be on the table for me. But see, we don't love like God. We don't sacrifice like God because we don't love like God. And for him, and can you imagine, here's Jesus that's used to sitting in a throne room where there's purity and no tears and no crying and no sickness, no suffering, and everything's perfect in heaven. Here, from eternity, he sat in the throne room at the right hand of God. And now, where is he sitting? He comes and he's in swaddling clothes in a manger. I love what Max Lucado. I usually bring the book and read, you know, the story from him. I thought I'll spare you this year, but let me give you a couple things out there. It just amazes me when he talks about what Jesus, where he was and where he came to and what he gave up. He says, "Here's Jesus, and here's the man that used to oversee the planet, and now he's squinting through these little eyes, trying to focus on a little Jewish girl's face, the eyes that once." That oversaw the whole universe. And I love what he says. He said, Mary, the little Jewish girl, she's just highly favored and blessed and can't believe this is all happening. And she's trying to wrap her brain around it. And said, she looks at him and said,
She doesn't know whether to give him praise or give him milk. And said, the best you can tell, he's both holy and hungry, so she gave him both. And then he says, the hands that once fashioned the planets and the mountains and everything is now holding on to the finger of a little Jewish girl. That's sacrifice, isn't it? That is sacrifice. Wow. And then to think, as he's growing up, he's used to sitting at the right hand of God on the throne, and now he's seated at a carpenter's table for dinner. He's laying in a little room, probably on some kind of little makeshift bed. And it may have been the best bed in the world since his daddy's a carpenter and a builder. You know, I like to watch these road shows where they go out and find an antique. Wouldn't that be something if you could find Jesus' baby bed? It'd be hard to prove it, wouldn't it? But that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But where he's used to being in the presence of God, and all the prayers of the saints are going up for a sweet aroma to the throne room of God, and now he's smelling sawdust on his dad when he comes home. Sacrifice, isn't it? Sacrifice for me and you. And then we read where the Bible says he'll bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. And I think Satan took that very personal, because when Satan gets ready to deceive the religious leadership, remember what they focused on heavily was on his face, with it on his head. They plucked his beard and they put a crown of thorns on his head and smashed him into his skull. I think the devil's saying, yeah, whose head is being injured now? And they focused heavily on injuring his head. But God knew the battle wouldn't be over. It's not about a physical battle, is it? Let me tell you, most of our battles in life isn't going to be physical. And if they are, it's because we hadn't took care of our physical. I know that hurt right here at Christmas, didn't it? But I'm saying most of it, not all of it, but most of our physical comes because we don't take care of ourselves. But I think most of our battles come right here and right here that really even make us physically sick. And they can spit in his face, they can rip his beard out, they can place thorns on his head, they can do whatever they want, but the battle is not won through the physical. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so let me just encourage you to keep your heart and your head right. And you know how we do that is just getting some of this. This is our spiritual food right here, isn't it? This is what, you know, when you say I'm just too busy to read anymore and I don't do my devotion, just don't. You know what you're saying is my spirit man is hungry and thirsty and it looks. It looks bad. It looks sickly. And I'll just tell you this, if we don't stay in this and get us a diet of this, all of our battles are going to look different. How many knows there's a great sacrifice paid so we could have this word and we could look at this and get it in our hearts and our minds and have faith to believe. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life comes through staying in here. Because how many knows your brain and my brain is going to be focused on something every day? Every day. I love to watch nature channels. And yesterday we had our Christmas with our kids. And we were watching, just sitting around after lunch and watching the nature shows and where there's lions. I am so amazed that God even put in nature, the order, like pecking order. For instance, you know, if most of the... It was really funny. My daughter's sitting there, and we were watching. I don't know if you watch that much, but most of the time the lioness goes out and does the hunt and the kill, not the male. And my daughter says, "Well, that's typical." We go out and buy the groceries and bring them home, set them on the table, and here you all come, you know. But it's just amazing to me how they just know. And then there's pecking order, and there's time when they'll run the young males off, and they're off on their own, whether, you know, they give them several years, 3 or 4 years, but they finally, there comes a time when they run them off, and they say it's time, and there's battles that go on. But isn't it amazing what God put in even nature? It's amazing to me. They showed one that was sick, the no female lion, and when they made the kill, and she had tuberculosis, and she just walked off, and at the meal, and that was her final, you know, just baby cubs. They'll show where another male will come in, and if he's trying to take over a pride of lions, he'll come in and kill the little young, and has to fight the leader. It's just amazing to me how they know to do all this, and how they, even the young males, when they would, the ladies would teach them how to fight and kill things, that if they didn't stand right where they wanted them to, and where they'd go over and place them, they'd lose the kill, you know. I thought, this is amazing. It's amazing. Well, let me tell you something. We don't have as natural instinct maybe as they do, but we have the written word of the living God. And everything we need to know is in here about eternal life and abundant life. And the sacrifice that he gave came through us being able to have this. And the sacrifice not only that he gave, but the sacrifice our forefathers gave so we could have this as a free country. And we should never take advantage of this. Talk about the birth. This is it. This is the story of Christ. This is what he came, and this is the gift he gave and left us. And so if you want to have life and have it more abundantly, I'm telling you, it doesn't depend on people. It doesn't depend on mom or dad or whomever. You can have life and have it more abundantly with it's just you and Jesus. I know other people matter and they hurt, and it hurts our heart when we lose them or this, but I'm telling you, he is enough. I am, he said. Whatever you need, he said, I am. And that sacrifice came so we could have this. We could have this. Look in, I think it's John 10, 10:15. This is Jesus talking. This gift came with great love, didn't it? John 10:15, Jesus says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Remember, he's getting ready to go to the cross, and as he's getting ready to go to the cross, he's going to be left all alone, isn't he? Can you imagine putting in 3 years of your life and training and teaching and supplying all their needs for 3 years and to a dozen guys, and not one of them's going to stand by you at your moment of when you really need them? Can you imagine that? But I'm just showing you this to say, he said, I know my Father, and my Father knows me. And I'm telling you, that's the most important relationship in your life, is knowing your Father and knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that relationship and having that right. That's the most important relationship in your life. And if we get those out of balance, I know, because I, for a long time, my wife, and you know, she was my first priority and not God, and it just didn't work. Now, when I changed that role, there was a little bit of a pushback, because I'd always just let her run the show and do whatever. And then I saw where I was responsible for leading my family to the house of the Lord and to doing certain things. And I didn't do them all right, I'll tell you that. And she pushed back on that and helped me to get in order that. So, you know, when I started leading the home, it was a struggle. But when I got this in order, it was no longer a struggle, because now I'm right as a leader. I'm not, you know, trying to get out of my authority or my boundaries, and I'm loving her. And so everything that if we can get this right, everything in our other life will be right. Whether it's with the right one, the one you choose or would have or would have had, it can be right. This is the gift. He says, I know my Father, and I lay down my life. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now watch this. And other sheep I have which are not in this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. How many knows who that other flock is? Thank you, Lord. That's when the gift, he's saying, I'm coming to you all too. The gift is coming to the Gentiles. Here comes the gift for you all. He says, they're not here yet. Remember he told the little lady, the demon-possessed daughter, he said, I didn't come to minister to you. I came for Israel. Later on you'll come. But her faith pulled him over off course, and he healed her daughter. But he didn't do that very much, did he? He stayed on course. He knew what he was called to do and where he was supposed to be. But he says, I'm bringing them in. And he said, verse 17, therefore my Father loves me. And again he says, and I lay down my life that I may take it again. Twice he told us that, right? Verse 18, no one takes it from me. Jan, there's free will. Thank God Jesus didn't use his free will. Because he said, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. I'd just as soon not go to the cross for Jack if there's some other way. But he said, it's not about my will. It's not about my free will. It's about the Father's will. Nevertheless, not my will, he said, but thine be done. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power. This would be tough, wouldn't it? It's tough to take the low road when you have the power to do it different, isn't it? That's when it's tough. If you don't have any options, it's not that tough. But if you have options and you take the low road, that's when you know you're in the will of God. I submit my will to you, Lord. And by the way, he said, if we don't get to that place sometime in our life to submit our will to Him and lose our life, he said, we'll never find real life. We'll never appreciate the gift that God sent us. If we don't get to the place where we're willing to just lay down our life and submit that into His hands, we'll never find the place that we're looking for, a peace in life. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So why is he in the garden praying, Lord, if this cup can pass? Because he said, I have options. I don't have to go for you. But the gift came with great sacrifice, didn't it? It came with great sacrifice and great love. And by the way, there's two times in when we're talking about bringing things with forethought and love and sacrifice. You know, when there's a lot of sacrifice like this and love, there's two times when there's a voice from heaven. You know, you talk about celebrating your... Yesterday, we were celebrating our Christmas with our kids, and Summer says, look at this. And it was Eric and Haley, and they're standing there at her graduation. You know what your daddy's saying? Atta girl, Haley. You know. Affirmation, isn't it? Affirmation. Two times in Jesus' life, there was a voice from heaven when he was baptized, just getting baptized, you know, the start of his ministry. John sees him, and behold, the Lamb of God, and he comes to John and said, I need to be baptized. And when he baptizes him, there's a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Just for baptism. It's okay to shout for your kids and give affirmation. That's what he taught us to do. And then before his death, remember, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. He's up there and he's praying, and his disciples evidently go to sleep again. But when they wake up, he's there and his robe is, he looks like he's already been transformed. It's white and glistening. And then they see they see Moses and Elijah, and they're just in awe. And they say, and Pete, you know, Pete, the one that always speaks before he thinks, remember him? Lord, it's a good thing we're here. I know how to build stuff, and we'll build you a temple, and Moses a temple, and Elijah a temple. And again, the voice says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In other words, shut up, Pete. It's not about him. This is my Son's time. They've come to minister to him. And you know, the Bible talks about having such a great cloud of witness around us. Great cloud of witness around. I think I'm going to do a message here before long on that. I'm not so sure we shouldn't call on people like that from heaven. And I'm not going to go there. But just think about that, because I'm going to bring a message on that before long. You know, people are talking about praying to Mary and calling on this and that. I mean, there's some validity to that. So I'll just tease you a little bit today. But he gives him affirmation. And then this gift came with great promise, didn't it? Cleansing, forgiveness, peace, hope, help. A place where there's no more, listen to this, in Revelation, there's no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Does that sound like a place you'd like to be? There's always something in there, always some pain, always something to cry about, always something. But he says, you know what, the gift came with great promise, so we don't have to do that. Now, here's the other last promise I'm going to give you, and it said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly right here. Right here. I got so tickled at my wife. We went to Crest Friday to get some groceries. At Crest, over where we live, there's a big bust of a man. I guess it's Mr. Kress, I guess. Is that? I didn't read the sign. But it's a big bust of him, and there's rock behind him. And Janice says, that's what they need to do to us when we die at prayer of faith, to get us a big old... I said, oh, you think so, do you? She's so funny. She is so funny. So I'm going to go ahead and make one up and save you all the trip. No. Yeah. She just thought all the hours, I'm sure, that we've spent, you know, sweating and praying and all that stuff. And I thought, you know what? It's going to be better than that in heaven, isn't it? I mean, with Jesus forever and ever and ever, because the gift that has come through the birth of Jesus Christ. And let us celebrate that this year. And somehow or another, I pray wisdom over all of you today, and myself included, that somehow we can show the love and light of Jesus Christ, what really Christmas is all about, somehow this year, that we'll put that back in there. And so I just pray, God, give you wisdom and give me wisdom this year. Say, how can we celebrate that gift and really be appreciative of what God has sent to us through all the thought and the sacrifice and the love and the grace and the promises come through the gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such a great gift that sometimes we get so caught up in life and we just lose sight of the gift that you've given to us, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that's ever been given. And Lord, this time of year is when we celebrate the birth of Christ. And so we ask that you would help us just to really let that be our celebration time, regardless of what we get or don't receive this year. Help us to just be grateful for the gift that was given, and somehow convey that to our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and to our loved ones and at work, wherever we are, just to be light and salt and to convey this great gift that was given to us through such great sacrifice. And we just want to say today, Lord, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the gift that we have through Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that it must have been so hard for you to send your son. But it just expresses the love that you have for us. So help us to remember that this year, that you love us enough to send your son. And remind us this year, Jesus, that you loved us enough to come and to give up the glory and the convenience and the splendor of heaven and to live in a little carpenter's house for 30 years and then to give your life sacrificially here on earth for us. Remind us of that love and how much you love us this year. That is our gift. That's the greatest gift we'll ever get. And that is guaranteed to us through your life and through salvation. So I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's one that hasn't received your gift and Jesus Christ and salvation, or maybe they've strayed from the path and they've been bogged down in life's stresses and strains and preoccupied today, Lord, bring them back to the cross. Bring them back to the birth of Christ and the gift that's been given. And help them, Lord, to have peace. Peace that passes understanding. And joy in their soul. Restore the joy that the enemy's taken. And bless them, Lord, in this Christmas season that we celebrate the birth of the greatest gift that's ever given. Help them to celebrate with true joy in the midst of trial and tribulation. In Jesus' name we pray. All the church said, amen.